את לחיים, ולא יראה קרי לכהן גדול ביום הכיפורים, ולחיבור גשמים אש של עצי המערכה, ולא נצחה הרוח את עמוד העשן, ולא נמסה פיסול בעומר ובשתי הלחם ובלחם הפנים, עומדים ספופים ומשתחבים רווחים, ולא הזיק נחש ועקרב בירושלים מעולם, ולא אמר אדם לחברו, שר לי המקום שאלין בירושלים. It is our custom during the weeks between Pesach and Shavuot to study Pirkei Avot. While we have time constraints, so we cannot study the entire Perek, but we like to take one Mishnah and try to say a novel idea. The Mishnah that I chose tonight is in the fifth chapter, and it's actually the fifth Mishnah. This Mishnah also finds itself in the Talmud, in Masechet Yoma, and it also finds itself in Avot, the Rabbi Natan. The Mishnah is talking about 10 miracles that took place, well, not on a daily basis, but at least on a yearly basis in the Beit HaMikdash, and the Mishnah then goes on to list the 10. Now, never take a Mishnah's word when it gives you a number, because although it says 10, and you count it, and it's not going to be 10. And the Gemara will come along and say, well, 3 of them are counted as 1. So you have to know which 3 are considered 1, so you don't ruin the count. So the Gemara says, the 3 are Omer, Shtei Lechem, and Lechem HaPanim. Now, before we say what the miracle was with those 3 things, what are these 3 things, which are actually 1? On the second day of Pesach, they brought Korban HaOmer. Korban HaOmer is from the first crop that's cut. They bring it to the Beit HaMikdash, and they make a mincha offering out of it, and they put it on the Mizbeach. Korban HaOmer. 49 days later, on Shavuot, they go again to the crop, and they bring also 2 loaves of bread. It's called Shtei Lechem. The Torah refers to it as Mincha Hadasha, and that is the Korban of Shavuot, the 2 loaves of bread. The third item that's mentioned is the Lechem HaPanim. That's the weekly showbread that were on the table. The Kohanim would set the table on Shabbat, and the old bread would come off and they would eat it. These are the 3 items that the Gemara says is actually considered 1 grouping. Omer, Shtei Lechem, and Lechem HaPanim. Now, what was the miracle that took place? Never in the hundreds of years of history did any of these services become pasul. They never became invalid. It seems that these items are susceptible to becoming pasul. I'm not going to discuss tonight what the potential pasulim are, but the Mishnah says it never happened. And it seems it's a miracle, because since these things are all perishable items, and they're prone for psul, but it didn't happen. Gemara says to go hundreds of years and never to have a psul of these 3 things is indeed a miracle. That's the Mishnah. Now I have to tell you of a very uninspiring question that I had on the Mishnah. I didn't think it's going to bring me anywhere, but when I learned the Mishnah, I had this observation, so I just noted it. Turns out that this question leads me to the big chidush that I came to say tonight. But when you're going to hear the question, you're going to think it's, nobody will lose sleep over this question. It's a technical one. The Mishnah is listing me 3 services. Omer, Shtei Lechem, Lechem HaPanim. I'm aware that the Talmud has a rule called the law of Tadir, the law of frequency. When something is more frequent than the other, it goes first. Tadir, Mishenu Tadir, Tadir Kodem. Now, the Omer was brought once a year. Shteh Lechem was brought once a year. Lechem Apanim was brought every Friday, every Shabbat, once a week. What happened to the law of Tadir? The Mishnah should say, Lechem Apanim, Omer, and Shteh Lechem. I get it. It's not the most major question, I understand. Nonetheless, it's a small observation. To my delight, after looking into some of the books, I actually found the question brought down by our Rabbi Rav Chida. Rav Chida, in his Pirush to Avot Derabbi Natan, where this Mishnah also finds itself in the 35th chapter, he says like this: Bechol Hashas Omer Shtei Alechem Kodem Lechem Apanim V'Halo Lechem Apanim Haya Bechol Shabbat V'Omer Shtei Alechem Pam Achat B'Shana V'Tadir V'She'enot Tadir Tadir Kodem. Baruch Shekimanti. It's the Chida's question. I'll give you the Chida's answer. He actually gives two answers. He said, the first answer is that it's well known that the Omer must come from produce that was made in Israel. You must cut the Omer from produce of Eretz Yisrael. Min moshevotechem tavi'u. Shtei alechem also must come from produce of Eretz Yisrael, made in Israel. Where is lechem apanim, the flour that you use for the showbreads, does not have to come from Israel. So therefore he says, made in Israel comes first. Kavod Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, you have to mention Omer and Shtel, although it's not as frequent, but because of the location where you get the ingredients for these two korbanot, Eretz Yisrael takes precedence and it comes first. The law of Tadir is suspended against the mitzvah of Kavod Eretz Yisrael. That's Haida's first answer. In his second answer, he says, Kavod Korban Adif. When they brought the Korban HaOmer, which was, as we'll see soon, it's a flour, it was also brought with an animal that went on the mizbeah. The two loaves of Shavuot were also brought with animals that went on the Mizbeah. Those are Korbanot. Whereas the Lechem HaPanim doesn't have an animal with it. And therefore, Kavod Korban, those that are coupled with a Korban that goes on the Mizbeah, they have an Adifut. They have a priority, and therefore it's written first. Fine, at least he has a two yeshuvi, two settlements to that question. Ben Ish Chai, in his Pirkei Avot, it's called Hasdei Avot, he says the following. Actually, I have it here. Let me read his golden words. Nir'el lefaresh b'si'ata d'shmaya. You see, the Ben Ish Chai's problem over here is, what in the world is this doing in Pirkei Avot? Pirkei Avot is a book of ethics. It's not a book of, facts and figures. This is not the Guinness Book of World Records that you're going to tell me, oh, there were 10 miracles that took place. What does that got to do with ethics? Pirkei Avot is supposed to tell me, be kind to your neighbor, you give benefit of the doubt, greet everybody with a smile, and so on and so forth. And now you're all of a sudden telling me facts and figures of what took place at the Beit HaMikdash. How in the world does that teach me about conduct? What does that got to do with Derech Eretz? So the Ben Ish Chai says, oh, what do you mean? There's a great lesson laden in these three items. He writes, Ilmad me'el lehanisim, will learn from these miracles a practical lesson, kohash l'kidusha, the power of kidusha, of holiness. And the rule is, ki devarim elu, these three korbanot, gashmiim hem. They're physical items, flour, wheat. Ukhliya teva, according to the natural order, yizdamen sheyehen nimsa behem pisul. These three items are very perishable. Bread spoils, bread gets moldy. These things are subject to psul, to becoming deficient. However, they did not. You know why? Ve'im kol ze kedushatam dohe hapisul. The fact that they had kedusha, it preserved them and saved them from pisul. So you learn a lesson. If you're involved in kedusha, kedusha is a preservative. So he says there's three kedushot that we all have in life. Kiddushah number one is the mitzvot. Kiddushah number two is learning. We have two Torahs, Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebaalpeh. And the third service that we have in life is the study of Kabbalah. That's the study of the pinimiyut of the Torah. So he says if anybody's involved in any of those three fields, or all three, you're involved in Kiddushah. It'll protect you from psul. He says, Omer is the first of the three. Omer is a mitzvah. Shtei Alechem represents the two loaves of bread, Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh. And Lechem of Panim, Panim is the pinimiyut of the Torah, that's the Lechem of the Kabbalah. And therefore the Bein Ishchai says, learn a lesson. If you're involved in mitzvot, or learning Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebaalpeh, or pinimiyut the Torah, you'll be saved from psul. You'll be saved from a deficiency. It'll preserve the person. But that's a practical lesson there. Well, I understand now the order. Because the Mishnah is following the order of Ma'alim Bakodesh. First it talks about Omer, which is a mitzvah. Then it talks about Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh, which is Shtei Alechem. Then it talks about the Pinimiyut of the Torah, which is the Kabbalah, which is Lechem HaPanim. So the Mishnah is following a progression. That's the Bein Ishchai. Last but not least, before I get to what I really came to say tonight, this is just to warm us up to the Mishnah. I found an old Perush de Pirkei Avot by a rabbi from the island of Jirba in Tunis. The Tunisian rabbi wrote a sefer. It's called Bigdesh Shesh on Pirkei Avot. And he says, well, he doesn't answer the order, but he answers what they all have in common. Because the Gemara says these three are one unit. What do they have in common? Why are they bunched up into one group? So he says they all have the distinct honor of bringing down Shefa to Klal Yisrael. Shefa, for the vernacular, is Parnasah. The Gemara in Pesachim says, on the second day of Pesach, God judges the world how much wheat there's going to be. In those days, wheat was the currency. We would say that God judges the world for money on the second day of Pesach. So God says, you better bring some product on the Mizbeach that day so you'll get a good judgment. The Omer brings the Shefa. On Shavuot, we're judged for how much fruit is going to come into the world. So God says, make sure you take something from the ground, namely the wheat, the Shtei Alechem, put it on the Mizbeach. So I will judge the world with a prosperous fruit judgment. And then the Zohar Kadosh says, the 12 loaves of bread that are on the Shulchan, that is the Shefa of Parnassah for Klal Yisrael for the entire year as well. The Shulchan symbolizes Parnassah. In English, even in our terminologies, we have many words for money. Money, greenbacks, moolah, geld, you said, or bread. So the 12 loaves of bread represent the panasan that comes from the table. So the Bigdeshes says, the commonality between the three is, they are the enablers that bring down Shefa. And he says, that's why we call the word Shefa. Because Shefa is Lashe Tevot. The Sheen stands for Shtei HaLechem. And the Peh stands for Panim, which is Lechem HaPanim. And the Ayin stands for Omer. Sheen Peh Ayin represents the three mitzvot that are done in the Beit HaMikdash to bring the Shefa down. Now, I said to myself that there must be a deeper reason why the Mishnah chose this order. And I said, first let me find if the Mishnah has a precedent. Do we ever see these three items mentioned somewhere else? Do we have another source where these three items are mentioned? Not in Mishnah. Well, actually, it's our lucky night. I found it. And not only did I find it, but I found it in the Parashat HaShavua that we're reading this Shabbat, at least in America. And that's Parashat Emor. Parashat Emor is the Parashah of the holidays. The Parashah tells us, Elle Mo'ade Adonai Mikra'e Kodesh Asher Tikra'otam Be'Mo'adam. And then it starts to list holiday after holiday. It starts with Pesach, Bahodesh Arishon, Barba'aza. Right after Pesach, it tells us about the Omer. That's the progression. Right after Pesach, on the second day, Uksartem et Kitzira, Vahabetem et Omer. Right after that, it mentions Shavuot, Usfartem lachem mahorat Shabbat, Sheva Shabbatot, Vekravtem mencha hadasha, Mimoshe botechot, Mimoshe botechem, Taviu, Lechem tenufa shetayim. Two loaves of bread. So Shtei Lechem is also mentioned. Right after Shavuot, the Torah then tells us about Rosh Hashanah. It then goes into Kippur, Sukkot, Shemini Atzeret. Right at the Shemini Atzeret, the Torah ends the parasha by saying, Ele Mo'ade Hashem. These are the holidays. Well, two out of three is not bad. Now, just as a side point, some of you may be saying, wait, that's not all the holidays. What happened to Hanukkah? Well, you know the answer to that. You're not going to find Hanukkah in the Bible. Hanukkah did not happen until after Torah was written. It's a rabbinical, so don't expect to have Hanukkah mentioned in the Torah. Although, the rabbi called the Rokeach, he comes along and says, well, I disagree. Hanukkah is mentioned. He says, because if you look at the next pasuk, right after Shemini Atzeret, after technically the holidays, at least we thought they were done, we're done with, the next pasuk comes along and says, and I quote, Vaydaber Adonai el Moshe lemor, Sabet b'nei Yisrael, v'yikhu elecha shemen zayit zach. Take Shemin Zayit Zach. And what should you do with the Shemin Zayit Zach? Ala menorah tehorah, light the menorah. That's strange. Why in the world all of a sudden he's telling you about lighting the menorah? Very random. Says the Rokeach, that's the name is that right after Sukkot you have Hanukkah. And then he says, well, you just have one more holiday then. And that's Purim. And he says, Purim, the mitzvah is to set the table and have a se'udah. And if you look at the next parasha, it says, and I quote, "Velakachta solet, take for yourself solet, flour, fine flour, ve'afita ota, and bake it, shtem esre halot, 12 loaves of bread, ve'santa otam shtem ma'arachot shesha ma'arachet ala shulchan ha'tahor." So therefore you have the lechem apanim mentioned as well, which is a remez to Purim. So we found the precedent. We found the order of the Mishnah is actually the order that they are mentioned in Parashat Emor. Omer, Shtei Lechem, Lechem HaPanim. So there must be something to it. The Mishnah clearly is not random at all. The Mishnah was following the lead and the origin when these things are mentioned first. But we still don't know the code. Well, that's what I came to discuss tonight. Where do we begin? There's a rabbi called Rabbi Yitzhak Arama. He's from Spain. He lived in the times of the Inquisition. He wrote a sefer on Humash that I recommend. If you can get a copy of it, it's called the Akedat Yitzhak. They call him the Baal Akedah. It's very, very important derash. And he says, Korban HaOmer was brought from the first cut of barley, which is actually an inferior product. And he asks that you don't find too many menachot in the Beit HaMikdash that were made out of barley, except the mincha of the sota. That's the lady that her husband suspects her for infidelity. So she's got to go to the Beit HaMikdash and drink the special waters. And part of her process is she brings a mincha. And while all menachot are made from wheat flour, the mincha of the sota is made out of barley flour. And the Gemara sota says, as you know, why? Because barley flour is usually fed to animals. The Gemara says, "He asta ma'aseh behema." She acted in a promiscuous way like an animal. Animals do not have fidelity. And therefore, let her korban be ma'achal behema. So Rabbi Yitzhak Arama understands that when we came out of Egypt, we were living in Egypt for 210 years. Egypt was a very, very decadent place. It was a degenerate place. It was a low place. As a matter of fact, the Gemara compares the society in Egypt, Zirmat Susim Zirmatam. They were promiscuous. They were lewd. They had the desire of animals, of horses. And Kleisen lived there for 210 years. You know about osmosis? After 210 years, it starts to sink in. The Torah is very clear when it talks about To'avat Mitzrayim, the abominations of Egypt. It was the seat of Tum'ah. There was no escaping it. And the Jews didn't escape it. The Zohar says we were on the 49.99 level of Tum'ah. Few nanoseconds left, and we would have been in spiritual oblivion. When we came out of Mitzrayim, I'm sorry to tell you, Rabbi Yitzhak Arama says, Klal Yisrael had the status of a behemah. A human being, of course. But in the level of our spirituality, we were just a sophisticated behemah. Klal Yisrael did not have yet the sophistication of Torah and mitzvot and matan Torah. God took us out, but it's like we were born from the womb. When a child is born from the womb, he's like an animal. Just eats all day long, and sleeps all day long, and burps and excretes. There's no intellect at that point over there. It's a baby animal. Rabbi Arama says, on the second day of Pesach, when we come out of Egypt, the first korban that's brought, ma'achal behema. Bring it from Se'orim. The Omer comes from Se'orim, which represents our madriga, the level that we were on. Klal Yisrael was unsophisticated and uncultured in a spiritual sense. And therefore, you're right. We might not bring this korban that often, but whenever you see Se'orim in the Beit HaMikdash, Ma'aseh Behemah. The Korban HaOmer represents the level of Klal Yisrael. And it's not a flattering level whatsoever. Then he says, like the rabbi said in his introduction, we have 49 days to detox, to remove to Avat Mitzrayim. Well, if you haven't been, I'll tell you an interesting insight. that I saw from one of the Kabbalists. It says when we came out of Egypt, Hamushim alu b'nei Yisrael. Hamushim, the rabbis learned, only 1/5 came out. But I saw another interpretation. Hamushim means that if somebody, God forbid, is addicted to a substance, so when they go to the rehab, they cannot immediately take them off the substance. They'll go into shock. The body is used to it. So what they have to do is wean them off slowly. They remove the substance gradually until the body can tolerate being without it. Klai Yisrael was addicted to the Egyptian tum'ah. It was a toxic, it was a very, very a contaminated society. And it was in our system. So we could not go from Egypt to Matan Torah. We weren't prepared for it. So we needed a weaning period. The 49 days is actually rehab. So the holy books write that God would remove from our systems 1/50th of toxicity a day. V'hamushim alu b'nei Yisrael. When we left Egypt, God removed 1/50th of it. But every single day, another 50th would be removed. That's v'hamushim. That explains another question. It says, when God took us out of Egypt, He took us the long route because He was worried that we might turn back and go to Egypt. Can I ask you a simple question? What in the world wants to go back to Egypt? I mean, look, Lehabdil, would there be a suspicion that the Jews would want to go back to Germany? Why would God suspect us to go back to Egypt? And the explanation is because there was a drug that we were addicted to. And that drug they had in Egypt. And the addict always will go back to where he can get that to'abat Mitzrayim. Whatever Mitzrayim was feeding to them, they were addicted to it. So God says, we have to make sure only 1/50th was extracted. They still have it in their blood system. So we better take them the long route so they don't make a U-turn and go back to Egypt. We don't want them to go back. The first day in rehab is the most critical day. Well, 50 days later, we graduated the rehab, and the manager there told us, well, here's your diploma, you're clean. We were clean, we took the test, our blood came out clean. God said at that point, congratulations, you're not an animal anymore. You're not an animal. You're starting to take on the image of an Adam, of a human. That happened on Shavuot. On Shavuot, we became humans. We became Adam. That's why, says Rabbi Yitzhak Arama, the loaves of bread that we bring on Shavuot are made up not of barley, but of wheat. Because wheat is ma'achal Adam. Humans eat wheat. You're not going to take fine flour that was sifted in 13 different sieves and feed it to your dog. It's too special, it's too expensive. Yeah, the dog, you'll give the sa'urim, you'll give the barley, but you're not going to waste fine flour on the animal. Those two kurbanot represent the metamorphosis from behemah to physicality, to materialism, to lowliness, to baseness, to rawness, Adam. Well, when I saw Rabbi Yitzhak Arama's Hadush, it made a lot of sense. Isn't that everybody's purpose? Everybody's purpose is to try to pull away from the behemah, because everybody's part behemah. That's not my opinion. Please don't get offended. The Gemara actually says that. I have a copy of the Gemara somewhere. It's in Hagigah, Tet Zayin. The Gemara says, human beings are similar to an animal in three ways. They eat and drink like animals, they procreate like animals, they excrete like animals. But the goal of life is to move from animal and try to elevate yourself to Adam. That's what we're doing now during the days between Pesach and Shavuot. To become less instinctive like an animal, to control our passion and desire to choose. Animals do not have the ability to choose. Animals do not have the ability to resist. Humans do. That's what we're working on now. We're going through the process of ma'achal behemat to ma'achal adam. I thought that's very telling. But it left me with a problem. Because it seems in this system, which is one system, there's three levels. There's omer, shtei lechem, and lechem apanim. Behema, adam, and then what? I mean, I thought the last stop on the train is Adam. I'm an Adam. Now what do you want from me? But it seems there's lechem apanim. There's another stop on the train. What in the world could that be? What am I supposed to be after an Adam? I'm not an animal anymore. That's just a great accomplishment. No, you're not done yet. So I started to open up the books. I started to look, what in the world do they want from us? Is there another level that is beyond Adam? I found an incredible Maharsha in Masechet Baba Batra, Daf Kuf Samech Dalet. The Gemara in Batra, I have it here, but I'll paraphrase it. The Gemara says in Baba Batra, there are three sins. She'en Adam nitzol mehem bechol yom. If you're an Adam, the Gemara says, you are most probably committing at least three sins a day. I'm not going to tell you what the three sins are. Well, you know them if you're an Adam. The Gemara is almost saying it's automatic. There's three sins that people cannot relieve themselves from. I'll tell you them. One is hirurei avera, you know, bad thoughts, whatever that means. The other one is iyun tefillah, not having kabanah when you pray, losing your concentration. And number three is lashon hara. Three automatics. Now the Maharsha says, hold it. If the Gemara is telling you it's an automatic, how could we be held responsible then? It's almost as if the Gemara is saying, listen, if you're an Adam, you're predisposed to three sins, and the Gemara is predicting it, and we always say, if the Gemara says it, it's emet. So it's emet. We cannot question the Gemara's assessments. And the Gemara is saying, if you're an Adam, automatically you're doing these three things every day. And then what? And you're going to go to Gehinnom. Why should I go to Gehinnom? It seems that it's out of my control. So Maharsha introduces level three. And he says level three is something that every Adam has to strive for. And if you get to level three, which is in your ability, then you won't even get involved in these three sins. Because the Gemara says, Shelosha devarim en Adam nitzol mehem, if you're an Adam. But if you're able to upgrade yourself past Adam, then already you're living on a much higher plane. And what is that? Malach. Angel. Now that was news to me. I knew that there were angels in the world. I know that Olam HaBriah, the Zohar talks about Kisei HaKavod, but I never knew that part of my expectation is to be a malach. But then I started to look in the books again. And I see that, yeah, it's a foregone conclusion in halakha that you have to be an angel. As a matter of fact, most of us have an exercise, and we do it at least 15 minutes a day. It's called the angel exercise. We exercise in order to feel what an angel feels like. Shulchan Aruch writes, I have a copy of it here, in Siman Saddiheh, Ora Hayim, Yechaven Raglav Ze Etzel Ze, Bechivun, Ki'ilu Enam Ela Echad, Lehedamot Lemalachim, Lechtiv Bahem, Veraglehem Regel Yeshara. Angels, if you ever saw a picture of an angel, they have one leg. Well, they don't need their legs because they fly. But their leg is one. So the Gemara says that when you pray the Amidah, you should put your feet together. At least that you should act out in a charade. That at least you should act out what an angel feels like a little. And doing that 15 minutes a day will remind you that Hashem wants you to be not an Adam. Adam is Rashi Tevot, Efer, Dam, Mara. Efer is the ashes that we were made from, blood and bile. I agree, it's better than an animal. But the Maharsha says, the end game is Malach. Problem is, doesn't tell us how do you become a malach. What do you have to do? And that's the secret that I came to reveal tonight. How do I become an angel? Maybe you'll tell me, well, Rabbi, first thing you have to wear a white robe and two wings and a halo on top of your head. Well, I think I found the answer. In a week from today is the holiday of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Next Thursday is Lag BaOmer. It's the big celebration in Meron by the tomb of our great rabbi Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. There's a song that was written in his honor. The song is called Bar Yochai. I'm sure you have it in your Sidurim. It was written by a Kabbalist by the name of Rabbi Shimon Lavi. He was from Tripoli. He lived 500 years ago in the same time as the Arizal and the Shlomo Elkabetz and all the Tzaddikim of Sfat. He was from Tripoli. And he wrote a masterpiece on Rabbi Shimon, and he called it Bar Yochai. Nimshachta Ashrecha, Shemen Sason Me'averecha. And I always wondered, what in the world does that opening phrase mean? Well, I know what Bar Yochai is. Son of Yochai, Nimshachta, you were anointed. And what were you anointed with? Ashrecha. You were anointed with Ashrecha. Ashrecha means fortunate are you. Shachta Ashrecha. Shemen Sason. The oil of joy. I heard of Mayim Besason. But Shemen Sason. Just a pshat. I'm not looking for anything complicated here. Bar Yochai Nimshachta Ashrecha Shemen Sason Me'averecha. I'll tell you how I figure these things out. It's very easy. He was anointed with Ashrecha. So you got to go back to the sources. Did Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai ever say the word Ashrecha? It says, actually he did. The Gemara in Shabbat says, where's the Gemara in Shabbat? For those of you that are keeping score, Shabbat, Lamed Gimel on the bottom. He comes out of the cave after 13 years. So one of his first things, he goes to the mikveh. By the way, last year I was in Eretz Yisrael actually it was there after Lag BaOmer. I went for the opening of the embassy. I usually go for Lag BaOmer, but We went for that. But I cannot go without visiting Rabbi Shimon. So I told the rabbi that I was with, take me somewhere that I wasn't. Take me to a new place. He said, today is your lucky day. I'm going to take you to somewhere you never went to. You're driving and driving. It looked like a dangerous neighborhood. And it probably was. And he says, here you are. This is it. So what is this here? He says, this is the cave where the Bishim on Bar Yochai learned for 13 years. The cave of Rashbi. It's in the city of Piki'in. The cave is still there. Could you imagine? You can go into the cave and you go out of the cave. And what do you see to the right of the cave? A carob tree. The tree is still there. You can pull the carobs off. You're eating from the same tree that Abisham ate from. The Zohar Kadosh says on Shabbat, the tree turned into a date tree. So you can eat something different than Chabot Shabbat. Now, I wasn't going to wait till Shabbat to see the tree change. And nor do I think it's going to change anymore. It only changed for Rashbi. But I thought that was a highlight, to go to the cave of Rabbi Shimon. Anyway, comes out of the cave, he goes to the mikveh, and he's with a rabbi called Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. Now, it's a machloket if Rabbi Pinchas was his father-in-law or his son-in-law. There's different texts on that. Anyway, Rabbi Shimon's disrobing, and all of a sudden, Rabbi Pinchas sees the back of Rabbi Shimon. And the back of Rabbi Shimon, his body, it looked like it was mutilated. The wear and tear of 13 years weathering the elements, living in the sand, it took a toll on his body. And it seems that Rabbi Pinchas never saw a body like that, so beaten. So he turns to Rabbi Shimon and says, "Oy li! Why, woe is to me to see such a thing. Woe that I should see such a thing. Oy li shira itani bekach." And the Bishamon answers the Bipinhas and says, "Ashrecha shira itani bekach. You are fortunate to see me like this. Because of this, that's what made me who I am. If I have any levels today, if I've reached levels of Torah that were unprecedented, it is because you see me like this. Ashrecha." Incredible. Rabbi Shimon is revealing to us that what some people look as oy, he looked it as ashrecha. This is the secret of Rabbi Shimon's greatness. That what is perceived as an oy, which is a woe, is actually an ashrecha. What you think is the punishment, what you think is a negative, to Rabbi Shimon says, this is why I'm so fortunate. The Gemara says, no liquid is extracted from a fruit more difficultly than olives, olive oil. If you take an orange, you squeeze it, the juice comes out easily. If you take a grape, you squeeze it, it comes out easily. Take an olive, you have to press it, you have to crush it, you have to hit it, and then you get a few drops of oil to come out. The process to produce olive oil is difficult. Bar Yochai, Nimshachta, you know what made you great? Ashrecha, when you said Ashrecha that you see me like this, the fact that your body was deprived in such a way, it did not interfere with your spirituality and you were able to reach that which everybody thought oy, and you understood that it's Ashrecha, Shemen Sason, you went through the process of producing oil, your body was beaten, your body was crushed. And everybody said, poor Shimon, oy, Rabbi Shimon. And you said, Ashrecha. You understood the secret. And what is the secret? I haven't met a person in life that does not have his share of oys. And I don't wish oys on anyone, but it seems it's inevitable. There are those that suffer chronic pain. There are those that suffer emotional pain. those that have financial burden. I don't have to give you the whole list of oys. It's well documented. And nobody is relieved from it. Rabbi Akiva is coming to say, one of the reasons why I was able to reach such high levels, because through the oys, I was able to still stay connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the interference, the body did not interfere. When a person goes through difficult times in his life, and he still plugs away, he still comes to the yeshiva and learns, like the Gemara says, Hashmer osho ya'asok b'Torah. You have a headache, study Torah. It doesn't mean a physical headache necessarily. You have things on your head. Hashmer osho. You have things on your mind. Learn. Fight it. Come to the Beit Knesset. Continue the service. That's when you grow. In our generation, Rabbi Gifta Alav Shalom used to say, in our generation, a yeshiva man wants to learn the whole Shas in one night. And he wants to sleep 8 hours also that night. No sacrifice. And he says, with a Pepsi Cola next thing. That's what he said, Pepsi Cola. Everything has to be perfect. We have to come into the Bit Midrash. It has to be 68.5 degrees perfect. Anything more or less, finish with Patur. The breakfast has to be exactly the way. And all the elements, it has to be the perfect conditions for us to do anything. And if Chas v'Shalom were asked to make a little sacrifice, oy, oy. And Rabbi Shimon says, fool, what you're calling oy is ashrecha. That mesirut nefesh is where you start to transcend from Adam to Malach. Those are the moments, right there. The moments where we sacrifice for Kadosh Baruch Hu under the conditions. And everybody lives under conditions. Everybody has their measure of oy. And when we plug through those moments, now we start to transcend to angelhood. Some of you are saying, are you telling me that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was an angel? Well, I have a proof that he was. He's the paradigm example of going from Behemah to Adam to Malach. Because in that song, a few lines later in the song, Bar Yochai, it says, Bar Yochai, Na'aseh Adam Ne'emar Ba'avurecha. That when God said, let us make man, he had you in mind. What does it mean? He didn't have me in mind, I'm also Adam. He didn't have you in mind, you're also Adam. No. Ne'emar ba'avurecha. It was said because of you. So I went back to the source, Pasuk Na'aseh Adam. And I look at Rashi HaKadosh, and he asks the obvious question. Let us make man. Who's the us? There wasn't a committee. There wasn't a board of directors. Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. One God. What is Na'aseh? Let us. So that she tells us a phenomenal secret. He said, when God was about to create man, he saw the angels started to become uptight. The angels actually started to become jealous. Because the angels knew that human beings also can become malachim. And the angels knew that they're going to have competition. That she's language. Man has the image of a malach, the angels were going to be jealous and envious. And I asked a simple question. So God had to, so to speak, placate them. He went to the angels. What do you think? Oh, he's asking our opinion. Okay, yeah, do it. At least they feel part of the decision. Now, why should you feel jealous? You have angels in heaven, you have angels on earth. Why should the angels feel threatened? There's angels in the Marom and there's angels on the earth. No, Nitkanubo. Why Nitkanubo? Explanation is because there's a big difference between an angel that was born an angel and an angel that was developed into an angel. The Malachim were born angels. No work. And an angel cannot become a better angel. It is what it is. They're stagnant. The human, on the other hand, is very impressive. He went from animal to angel. The Malachim say, wow, that's impressive. We're jealous of that. That a person with all his physical attractions and all the desires and all his pronesses, and he could go from behemah to Adam to Malach. Wow, we're jealous of that. And who's the poster child? Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, when he came out of the cave, his body was so racked, it didn't exist. He says, that's why I'm able to give you all the secrets of the Torah. Ashrecha shera'ituni bekach. Na'aseh Adam ne'emar ba'avurecha. When God said na'aseh Adam and the angels were jealous for guys like Rabbi Shimon, the angel said, wow, look at this, what an accomplishment. He's a developed angel. He did it the old-fashioned way. He earned it. He didn't just be born an angel like us. That's even an angel says, wow, that's impressive. Say Adam, God knew the angels are going to be jealous for guys like Rabbi Shimon. There's a pasuk in Iyov. Mebesari ehaze elawa. From my flesh, I could see God. Learn biology, and you'll see God. It's stunning. It's miraculous. But the Kabbalists say, if you take the word mebesari from my flesh, besari is Rashi Tevot Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. From the flesh of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, ehaze elawa, you could see God. He became so close to God because through all the physical oppression that he had and his oys, he plugged through, and he was able to transcend to become a malach. Na'aseh Adam ne'emar ba'avurecha. That's the goal. And that's the goal that I say to the boys in the yeshiva and the ladies that are here tonight. We're making a preparation for Shavuot. The preparation must be that there must be a certain mimicking of angel life. And angel life is a life that is not physical, but we are physical people. So for us, the way we mimic an angel is that even when we have physical discomfort in any capacity that it is, there should not be a reason for us to run away from the Torah and run away from learning. Adrabah, the oy is ashrecha. My rabbi said, you have to pray to God, because everybody gets yisurim, but you have to pray to God that the yisurim should not take me away from the service of Hashem. We still should be able to come to shul and pray and learn and function through it. Then already you'll start to feel not like an animal, not like an Adam even. Now you become a malach. Now I go back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah, I think, is in perfect order. The same order that the Torah wrote it. Omer, Shtei Alechem, and Lechem HaPanim. Omer is Ma'aseh Behemah. That's when you come into this world. If you're able to refine yourself on Shavuot, you're an Adam. But that's not the goal. Shtei Alechem is Adam. Wheat is ma'achal Adam. But then there's lechem apanim. And lechem apanim is incredible. It's the only korban or service in the Beit HaMikdash that does not go on the Mizbeach. Think what I just said. Every sacrifice, a piece of it goes on the Mizbeach. Every mincha, a piece of it goes on the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach always eats from everything. Except the 12 loaves of bread, the Kohanim take it right off the table and they eat it. You don't even have to take a kometz and put it on the Mizbeach from the Lechem HaPanim. The showbread is the exception. And the Mefarshim say, what's the exception? Human beings, you have to eat. You have to eat. But the eating of the Kohanim, of the Lechem HaPanim, represents the highest level of Achila, that the Achila is like the Mizbayah. The Achila of Lechem HaPanim, the Achila, it bypasses the Mizbayah. Ma'achal otiyot malach. That the Ma'achal of Lechem HaPanim is bebechinat malach eating. But the Olam says, you don't need to put it on the Mizbayah. You're ingesting the Lechem HaPanim, has a deen of Mizbayah. And therefore, the Mishnah is very precise in its order. Now, we're trying to metamorphosis from Behemah level. That's the Omer. Be'ezat Hashem will come on Shavuot, will stand in Har Sinai, and Borei Olam will say, you have detoxed. You're clean. You're an Adam. But don't be satisfied. Because if you're an Adam, there's three Averot that you'll commit every day. Shlosha Averot en Adam nitzol. The Maharsha says, it's Davka Adam. So what do you want from me, Rabbi? After Shavuot, your job begins. Now you accepted the Torah. Now be Moser Nefesh. Now learn the Torah even under the conditions of Ohi. Bar Yochai Nimshachta Yosemicha is the Semicha of Ashrecha. I am fortunate, and you are fortunate to see me serve God under these conditions. The angels are jealous of Rabbi Shimon, and I conclude with this. If I were to see an angel, and I would say, Malach, I need you to do me a favor. How would he respond? Well, he would respond like I would expect him. Consider it done. And I would tell him, you don't want to ask what it is? He said, I don't have to ask what it is. I said, well, maybe you won't be able to do it. I'm a Malach, I can do anything. You don't have to tell me what the errand is. Consider it done. Whereas if I would go to a human being and say the same thing, he would say, well, it depends. Tell me what you need to do. And that would be the prudent answer. Angels can accept the mission without asking. The Jewish people come to Har Sinai, and God says, well, I have a book of errands. And before God can even tell us what the errands are, the Jewish people say, Naseh! We're in. And the angels say, hold it. Who's talking like this? This is our vernacular. And God says, you forgot. You remember 2,500 years ago when I created this species and I said, Na'aseh Adam. Remember when I told you Na'aseh Adam and you got jealous? This is what you were jealous of. That it's possible that a human being, 15 days ago he was an animal. Now already he's a malach. Now already saying, I'm doing it, Na'aseh, consider it done. The Na'aseh Adam manifested itself at Na'aseh Benishma. That's the Zohar says. Klal Yisrael has that ability. And when we go through these journeys of time, history repeats itself, and we get the energies that give us the ability. So don't sell yourself short. Nobody should sell themselves short that they want to go through this world and exit it as an Adam. That's not the goal. The goal is not only to put your feet together in the Amidah like a Malach, but to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu under the conditions of Malachim. The Oy is Ashrecha. That's our Nimshachta. The levels of the Mishnah are very pertinent till today. Omer, Shteh Lechem, Velechem HaPanim. Thank you very much.
Beautiful. Thank you. You wrapped up the mirror already?